Now is the time where we come to the Lord's Word, and over this month and last month and this month and then next month as well, our goal as a leadership is to really help you understand what it is we believe as Christians and as a church. Obviously, if you've been coming to this church for a while, there are some unique things about us that have probably attracted you to it. Maybe it's the food. Could be anything. But we want to help you understand what it is about us, what motivates us, what inspires us, what moves us to do what we do every day. One of the things I delight in most is that our church is open 7 days a week. To me, that seems like an ideal thing for a church to do, is be open as often as possible. While we meet on a Sunday and we have some traditions that we value and treasure because they, again, point us to Christ, we have, you know, worship, praise and worship, communion, sharing from the Word. Those are all important aspects of our walk with Christ. But beyond that, every day that we are engaged in life, we're doing that out of what God has done in us. That includes going to work, doing the housework, looking after children. All of those, what might seem like sort of secular things, are infused with the love of God. So this month, our topic is the inspiration of the Word. The inspiration of the Word of God. Now, as we begin to talk about some of these things over the next few weeks, sometimes you may find that it might be a little bit like whoosh over your head. Like, what? I don't quite get it. That's where we have something that a lot of people don't have, which is a helper in the Holy Spirit. I rely on that when I come to share the Word. I rely on the Holy Spirit to direct me and lead me and guide me in what I share. But I also trust in Him to then convey to you what He wants to say to you, even if I get it wrong. I can trust Him with that. Okay, so the inspiration of the Word. I want to talk to you about the inspiration of Scripture today and what it means. So I want you to, that's where I'm heading to, okay? But firstly, listen to a couple of these phrases. Listening for God's voice, that's one. Hearing God's voice 101. How to hear from God directly. 3 ways to help you hear from God more clearly. 4 ways to know if you're hearing God's voice. 6 things you can do to hear the voice of God. 7 keys to hearing God's voice. These are just a sampling of the numerous hits I received when I Googled hearing God speak. As I perused the various articles, I quickly realized that they all shared a common denominator. They encouraged me to listen for God's voice in the echo chamber of my own mind. Apparently, I'm supposed to make God real in my life by experiencing some sort of identifiable nudge deep within. That's how you hear from God, right? This kind of concerns me a little bit. While promising a great experience, hearing God's voice, it's a great experience for anybody. Well, eventually. The kind of spirituality advocated in these articles can actually end up a little bit harmful. Despite all the talk of God, it leaves people alone with themselves by encouraging them to make their relationship with God dependent upon vague feelings. Oh, I kind of need to just feel what God wants me to do. As a pastor, many times, actually, even before I was a pastor, growing up in a Pentecostal church, many times people would say, oh, you know, God spoke to me. And He's told me that I have to stop doing this job and do this other job. Or, oh, God spoke to me and I need to I need to marry that girl because that's what God wants me to do. Like, just And very rarely would anybody bother to mention a scripture connected to what God was telling them to do. That should concern you when people say, God's told me to do this and God's told me to do that, and none of it kind of lines up with anything in the Bible. That's a pretty bad sign. Oh, you know, God speaks to me differently to anyone else. You mean different to the rest of humanity. That's a pretty unique relationship right there. The thing is, we'd all like to hear God's voice, right? I mean, I would. Here's the place you need to begin, okay? I'll give you the secret source, the tip. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, actually. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, God-breathed. Okay, so what's scripture? When Paul penned those words, it was Paul who wrote those, by the way, he certainly had the sacred writings, that is, the Old Testament, in mind. It's entirely possible he was also thinking of those New Testament letters that were already in circulation in his day. When we affirm the inspiration of Scripture, we're of course referring to the 66 books of the Bible. But why? Well, we receive the Old Testament as Scripture because Jesus authenticated it. Jesus authenticated the Old Testament. How? Well, for starters, he recognized the Jewish division of the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. He does that in Luke chapter 24. And these contain all the books of the Old Testament. Moreover, Jesus quoted repeatedly from the Old Testament, employing it to resist temptations, develop arguments, silence critics, teach lessons, reveal prophecies, defend truths, and expose needs. He used the Old Testament to show that. He referenced it a lot. Finally, he accepted the Old Testament as historical, referring to specific events. Examples include the first marriage, the flood, the destruction of Sodom, and the burning bush. He also referred to individuals: Adam, Eve, Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Moses, David, Solomon, Elijah, Elisha, Naaman, and Jonah. He specifically referenced all of those individuals. We receive the New Testament as Scripture because Jesus authorized it. Now, I'm onto the New Testament now. Sorry, I just need to correct you there, Dr. K. We receive the New Testament as Scripture because Jesus authorized it. How? He sent his disciples with the same authority with which the Father had sent him in John chapter 20 and verse 21. That is to say, he made his disciples his authorized representatives. So if they're authorized, what they write is authorized by Jesus himself. As such, they served as the church's foundation. And in that role, they gave the New Testament to the church. B.B. Warfield explains, we rest our acceptance of the New Testament scriptures not on the fact that they are the product of the revelation age of the church, for so are many other books which we do not accept, but on the fact that God's authoritative agents, that's the disciples, the ones who were authorized, deputized, you know, in founding the church, gave them as authoritative to the church which they founded. So they founded the church and they wrote letters and supporting documents to strengthen that foundation and commission it and commit it to the world. It is clear that prophetic and apostolic origin is the very essence of the authority of the scriptures. Prophetic and apostolic origin. So it wasn't just that there were some contemporaries of Jesus' time who wrote some books and therefore that should be in the Bible. It was actually people authorized and commissioned by Jesus himself to do that work. That's why we can trust the scriptures. Jesus himself authenticates and authorizes both the Old and the New Testament and says, here is the word of God. So hopefully that helps you understand why those 66 books are referred to as the scriptures. So what is inspiration then? Well, we actually phrased it slightly different in that scripture that we read from Timothy. We talk about being God-breathed. At times, when we use the term inspire, we mean motivate. E.g., he was inspired to write that book. At other times, we mean encourage. Example, her singing was inspiring. However, when we say that all scripture is inspired by God, we don't mean either of those things. What we really mean is that all scripture is breathed out by God. Here's a couple of examples. And I really hope with these we're able to understand this. The first is in Romans chapter 9 and verse 17. Romans chapter 9 and verse 17. It says, for scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. When Paul says scripture, he's referring to Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, which reads thus, but I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. We discover when we're looking there that it was actually God who spoke the words to Pharaoh. So why does Paul say that scripture said it, when in actual fact God said it? The answer is, all scripture is breathed by God. A second example I want to look at is in Matthew chapter 19. Verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. According to Jesus, God said that a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. But when we turn to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, this is that early scripture, the words are actually attributed to Moses writing them. That's Moses writing those words. So why does Jesus say that God said it when in actual fact Moses wrote it? Again, the answer is all scripture is breathed out by God. Are you getting the idea? It's kind of interchangeable. God, scripture, this is breathed by God, the scriptures that we read. On another occasion, Jesus says, David himself in the Holy Spirit declared. That's an extremely helpful description of inspiration. David was the author in the hand of the Holy Spirit, whereby what David wrote is God-breathed. This is confirmed throughout the Bible. Based on Psalm 69 verse 25 and 109 verse 8, Peter argues that the scripture had to be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 16, pointing his audience to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Paul proclaims, "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet." Acts 28, 25 to 26. Referring to Jeremiah 31, 31 to 35, the author of the book of Hebrews declares, "The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us for after saying," etc. in Hebrews 10. In short, the Holy Spirit so directed the human writers that the finished product was precisely what God intended. At times, revelation and inspiration were joined together. The Holy Spirit revealed truths which were communicated in words which he inspired. At other times, revelation and inspiration were separated. The author simply wrote about things they already understood or witnessed. Look at early Luke. Either way, the authors of Scripture expressed the truth in words which were inspired by the Holy Spirit. No prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. It's in 2 Peter 1:20. Peter is not talking here about reading and interpreting Scripture, but about its origin. His point is that prophecy wasn't the result of the prophet's own interpretation of things. It wasn't the author's idea. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1 verse 21. The verb carried along was used of a ship carried along by the wind. This means that the Holy Spirit carried along the human authors in such a way that what they wrote was God's and not theirs. The Bible, therefore, isn't the product of human invention. Rather, it is the Word of God. That's what we believe. The Bible is the Word of God. And hopefully from what I've shared, or maybe someone will explain it better than me to you, shows why we value the Word of God so much. Why it must be the source of what motivates all that we do. When we look at the traditions in the church, are they supported by the Word of God? When we act on these traditions, when we incorporate them into our services, into our daily life, into our interactions with one another, are they grounded in the Word of God? Can we find examples of what we're doing in the Word of God? Can we find examples of worshiping God? Yes. Can we find examples of preaching the Word? Yes, we can. Can we find examples of breaking bread together, of sharing with one another? Yes, they're all in the Scriptures. So this is what we look to for guidance and direction from God. When we were beginning with Connect Community Trust and some of the work we were doing in the hub, I remember being questioned about our model of care, our model of operation. I said, well, we're using a very old manual, but it's been successfully implemented for a couple of thousand years. In fact, most of the current models are based on the success of that model. That's the Scripture. That's the Word of God. So before you all fall asleep, we'll draw these thoughts to a close. Before I fall asleep. So, here's the question. Do you want to hear God's voice? The answer is read the Bible. If you want to hear from God, you want to know what God thinks and what God wants to say to you, read the Bible. If you can't read the Bible, listen to it. Get someone to read it to you. It is that which goes out from God's mouth. That's the Bible. Isaiah 55 verse 11. It goes out from the mouth of God. It bridges the expanse between heaven and earth, between the infinite and the finite, creator and creature. It's as powerful as the rain and snow which come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Again, Isaiah 55, verse 10. Thus, we expect God to speak to us, not subjectively through inner urgings, but objectively through his word. For this reason, we listen to the Bible as if we heard God speaking to us from heaven, rejoicing like those who find a great treasure. This is the importance of the Scripture and the Word of God. This is why it's so vital for us as a congregation, for us as a community, a family of believers. This informs all the decisions we make. The Word of God. Oh Lord, you know, what have you called us to do as a church? Open the Bible. It's all there. Lord, should we do this or should we do that? Go first to the Bible. Go first to the Word of God. When you have those amazing dreams where you feel like God has just opened something up for you and revealed something. As soon as you get up, go to the Word of God. Is it in there? Is there something there that aligns with what God's showing you? The Word of God is what helps tune your ears in to hearing from God. It's like Jesus says, you know, my sheep know my voice. They know it because it lines up here in the Word of God. Father, I thank you for your Word. Lord, there's a lot to chew on today. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would embed within each person a new hunger for your Word, a new desire to understand and know you through the Word of God. Lord, I pray that we would see the inspiration of God in Scripture. We would see the breathing of God, the God breath that infuses all of Scripture.